Hello and welcome to the Helix Reviews Podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today on the show, I'm going to be talking about the top 10, no, the top 15 Batman villains that I think could get their own solo movie. Now, in the Joker episode of the podcast, I talked about the idea for this episode, and I said, you know, this is going to be something that happens in the future. I meant for it to happen maybe a little bit sooner than it did, but here we are. As promised, my top villains that I think could get their own solo movie. Bat family villains. At first, I was just focusing on Batman, because he has a big enough rogues gallery. I think you can make 10 villains off that. Then I kind of expanded it a little more to Bat family. And then when I expanded it to the entire Bat family, there came on enough new villains that I'm like, you know, I'm going to expand this list from 10 to 15, make it a little bit bigger, a little bit more meaty, and give us a few more characters here to talk about. You know, sometimes when you're hearing people talk about the Joker or about certain other movies, whether it be like Maleficent or something like that, where it's a movie focused on the bad guy. And then sometimes like Maleficent, they'll twist it a little bit where it's like, okay, maybe she's not as bad as you think she is. But a lot of people, when they're kind of talking about it, they're like, yeah, but we don't ever really get movies that really focus on the villains, right? But honestly, I just think they're focusing on the wrong movies. I think we have tons of movies that are focused on the villains of the story. Whether it be, you know, gangster movies, Goodfellas, none of the main characters in Goodfellas are good guys, right? They're all bad. They're all evil with what they're doing. Those are the villains that need to be taken down. Or you look at revenge movies, movies that are all about, oh, getting back at that person. You know, whether that be somebody like The Punisher. The Punisher, ultimately, that's pretty much a villain story. You know, they twist it to kind of be more of an anti-hero story because he's such a compelling character. But ultimately, what The Punisher is doing is wrong and it's evil. And so you have, like, revenge kind of stories where ultimately, you know, there's a worse guy, but you're focusing on a bad guy a lot of the time, unless there's some kind of redemption, you know, unless it's a redemption arc where at the end, it's not just them getting their revenge. At the end, it's them learning a lesson that, you know, revenge doesn't work, revenge doesn't make you feel any better and all that kind of stuff, you know, but there's a lot of movies that end with the revenge happening. You know, they kill the bad guy at the end, they get their revenge, and oh yeah, there we go. And that is a movie that's focused on a villain because it's focused on someone that is deciding to normally commit murder. I mean, even if they have like a reason, it still makes him a bad guy, right? And then you have movies like John Wick, where John Wick, you kill his dog and you beat up his car, and suddenly he goes on a rampage killing tons and tons of people. John Wick is not a good guy. You root for John Wick, you like John Wick, and there's some amazing action sequences with John Wick, but he's not a good guy. You know, yeah, there's other people that are worse than him there that he kills, and you really shouldn't be messing with this big bad hitman guy, but John Wick is not a good guy. So there's another movie that's focused ultimately on a bad guy. All that's to say, movies with villains at the center, movies with villains in the lead, or, you know, bad guys in the lead, is not a new thing. This has been around for a long time. And I think there's a lot of cool and interesting stuff that can come out of movies with a character in the lead that is not the good guy. Now, I'm all for good guy heroes, you know, good guys in the lead role. I actually think we have probably less of that nowadays than maybe we should have. Because, I mean, nowadays we're diving a lot more into, like, the anti-hero kind of thing, right? But I think there's some of the aspects that could make good villain movies interesting or good villain movies good and stuff is, I mean, first off, we're all sinners. We've all been bad and we all are bad and we are all closer to being the bad guy a lot of times than we are the good guy. Even though, you know, I mean, okay, maybe we didn't go out and, you know, murder a bunch of people or whatever, but if you look at the Bible and it says, you know, when you hate somebody in your heart, that's a sin just as much as murder is a sin, you know? It's like, okay, so in a lot of ways, in our minds, we are closer to that bad guy than we would like to admit, right? So there, it can show some of the flaws within us by showing the flaws of this lead character and showing how, you know, this can lead to some really destructive and terrible behavior, which is another thing. They can be good cautionary tales. Breaking Bad is, I love that show, a fantastic, fantastic television series that completely focuses on the villain. It focuses on a bad, bad guy. But ultimately, Breaking Bad is a cautionary tale. You see that, and you go, oh, everything he's doing here is bad. And the show very much acknowledges everything he's doing here is bad. And then you see how that destroys his life. So villain stories can be good cautionary tales to show us how not to live your life, you know? And then also, the darkest stories have the potential for the brightest lights, right? So the darkest stories have the potential to have the biggest hero or the biggest source of good, you know? Because, I mean, that's like the story of human life on Earth. You know, we are so depraved and low and terrible, and then God is the biggest, brightest light. And, you know, we have the perspective, ultimately, of kind of the bad guys as the sinful humans, but we can be redeemed, we can be saved through Christ. So anyway, looking at a story with the villain or a bad guy as the lead, I think there's a lot of potential here for something interesting and something thematically good and cool coming out of a story that you could look at and maybe go, oh, is this rejoicing in the violence, or is this rejoicing in, you know, oh, the Joker, kind of promoting to the Joker as a good guy almost. I really don't think the Joker movie was, and I think you have the potential with a villain focused movie to focus on something good, or to portray a good message or idea with a character that is not good, you know? All right. So all that said, that's just preamble, I guess, to all, let's get to the list here. The list, I'm probably not going to get that deep probably with the list as far as, what I was just saying. I don't know. Anyway, let's just get to the list. This is a bad transition. So a few runners-ups here that I think could potentially have a movie that could be interesting. Hush is a really interesting character, but you would have to find a way to separate him from Batman. He's so intrinsically tied to Batman that I think it would be really hard to give him his own character, but he is a fleshed out and interesting enough character that he potentially could have his own movie, but maybe it would have to be like something spinning out of Batman or something. Scarecrow and Nightfall, both awesome, very cool characters that potentially could have their own movies. So let's just jump in here. Number 15, because I have a top 15 villains, Bat family villains, that I think could make interesting movies. So number 15, I have Gotham City Sirens. Now, this is kind of a movie that's already happening, though. Birds of Prey is essentially a Gotham City Sirens movie. Now, I think what they're doing with Birds of Prey is they seem to be trying to pull some of those characters a little bit more towards something positive. Maybe trying to pull them a little bit more towards the hero, or at the very least, like an anti-hero kind of position. Whereas Gotham City Sirens would probably leave them in a little bit more questionable of a state. But basically, this movie's happening already, and I'm really looking forward to it. The trailers have looked fun so far. There's some things I'm not excited about, but overall, I'm definitely looking forward to Birds of Prey, which would essentially the DCEU's version of a Gotham City Sirens movie. Number 14, I have a Joker slash Harley Quinn movie. Now, these first couple movies are kind of different than the rest of the list. Because also this one, I don't think they are going to make this movie at this point because they just released a Joker solo movie. And they don't seem to want to make a sequel to this. At least the director doesn't seem to want to make a sequel to the Joker movie. So they're probably not going to create a new Joker very quickly in order to make a Joker Harley Quinn movie. And they're probably not going to bring back Jared Leto's Joker. I don't know. Probably not. But I think you could make a very interesting movie with these two. And why I think you could better make a movie with a Joker and Harley Quinn movie than just a Joker movie is because, I mean, personally, if I were making the movie, I would put more of the focus on Harley Quinn than I would on the Joker. You know, I would do something like the Mad Love storyline where, you know, she falls in love with him, but and then you kind of work through that abusive relationship, and then you end the movie with her dumping Joker and, you know, moving on to something else, something better, hopefully, right? And now, I mean, we can't really have this movie anyway, because in Birds of Prey, apparently, she's already broke up with the Joker. So it's like, you know, that whole story arc for her has kind of been stunted. We can't really have that now in the DCEU, which stinks, because that is a very powerful story arc for Harley Quinn, and it's too bad we're not going to be able to see her work through that and then break free from that, where it seems like she's already free. You know, maybe this is the post-breakup movie is maybe what it is. But I don't know. I guess I think it's a bummer that we're not going to be able to see this storyline in the current DCEU as it is. But either way, I think that would be my focus for a Joker Harley Quinn movie. Number 13, I have Mr. Freeze. All right, cool party. Everybody freeze. All right, more Arnold puns here.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
What I would make this movie about is not a super cheesy Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I'd make the movie about this character that, you know, he has this disease where he has to remain, you know, so cold in order to live. And so he can use that to, make his freeze weapons and all that. But ultimately, What the movie is about is Mr. Freeze's quest to heal his sick wife, because his wife is dying and he needs to heal her at any cost. And, you know, so she's there in this suspended state, or she's just dying, or however you want to portray it for this movie. And he will do anything to save her. So, you know, maybe Batman would show up in this movie, but he would just be an obstacle for Mr. Freeze to overcome. And so ultimately the drive of the movie is Mr. Freeze doing anything in order to save his wife, hopefully, at the end. And, you know, whether that means, you know, he has to kill people, or whether that means, you know, he can do anything right or anything, you know, just whatever it takes, he's going to do it in order to save his wife. And I think you could bring a lot of humanity to this character with that kind of storyline. And even if, like, it ends with him, you know, he heals his wife or whatever, he solves the problem, and then he's like, okay, now he goes to prison, and he kind of accepts that because it's like, okay, I fulfilled my goal. You know, my goal was to heal my wife at any cost. I did it. Now I have to accept the consequences or something. You know, if they wanted to go that direction, I think that could be a very compelling end to a movie like this. So number 13, Mr. Freeze. Number 12, I have Clayface. So what I'm thinking with Clayface can turn into clay, and he's a big clay monster and all that kind of stuff. My thought with this is make it kind of like a dark drama thriller kind of thing mixed with body horror. So when he starts turning into this clay monster, it's horrifying, it's gross, and he's like, what is going on? And then kind of make that maybe the focus of the movie, his transformation from the human person to Clayface, you know. Maybe have like Jordan Peele direct it, give it that kind of style or flair. I don't think he would direct it just because, I mean, he's doing really well making his own solo movies by himself, so I'm sure he wants to continue doing that. But if you could have that kind of style or that kind of hand directing this movie, I think that could be extremely cool. So number 11, I have Anarchy. This would be the DCEU's or the DC's version of like V for Vendetta, which is also, that's Vertigo, right? So that's technically DC and all that. Anyway, this would be kind of like the V for Vendetta type of story where we're following a character who's ultimately a terrorist. The character, yeah, he's a terrorist. He's not a good guy at all, but he has this goal, he has this mission, and it's very political, and he's like, you know what, we gotta screw the man, or whatever his ultimate mission will be, but we have to change something in our political system because it's so screwed up, it doesn't work, and so, you know, there we have Anarchy basically being our V, you know, and maybe we could have somebody like James DeMonaco direct it, who did the Purge trilogy, who, you know, he kind of infuses some of this political ideas in with this very kind of crazy, chaotic action kind of movie, which is what I would imagine an Anarchy movie would be. And actually, the Purge, what is it? Purge 2 is Purge Anarchy. Is that why I connected this director to this movie? Maybe that was something that happened in my head anyway. But anyway, that's kind of my thought for an Anarchy movie. Probably too small of a character that they would really want to focus on as far as putting him in the main lead. But I think you could get a very interesting and a very politically kind of interesting movie. You know, something that would really kind of make a statement one way or another, you know. Number 10, I have Vandal Savage. So Vandal Savage is this immortal character that just lives, you know, all throughout the years, and he builds up these armies and he builds up all this stuff. And that would what this movie would be about, is basically him through the years building up all his power and building all this up. Now, the villain of the movie, or whoever would be kind of the antagonist of the movie, would have to be either somebody that is also immortal or can live a very long time, or is someone that can travel through time, right? I mean, this is what happened on Legends of Tomorrow. Legends of Tomorrow, the first season, was Vandal Savage was the villain, and they kept popping up and having to stop him and things like that. So, you know, I guess if you don't want to take too much after Legends of Tomorrow, you have to find another character that can live a long time. Either that, or you could have him be building up this power, and then you have another power come in that kind of threatens his own, you know, something like the League of Assassins or something like that. And so then you have kind of these wars between these two big clans or something like that. That could be an interesting take for Vandal Savage. Number 9, I have Catwoman. This is kind of an obvious one, it seems like, at least it seems to me, for a solo movie for a Batman villain, because she's one that can swing very much between, you know, is she a villain, is she an anti-hero, you know, kind of swinging back and forth between there. You could have it be kind of a heist movie where I think the Win in Rome comic books is kind of like that, where it's like a heist with Catwoman. You could have, you know, maybe Batman be there a little bit or not at all. You know, she's definitely a character that can carry her own movie. And there's a lot of options that you can do with her and a lot of different directions that you could go with a Catwoman movie. And it just seems like one of the very obvious versions one of the obvious movies to pick if you're trying to think of these very kind of different unique movies, if you want to make them in the MCU. Or not in the MCU, because that doesn't make any sense. In the DCEU. So, number 9 is Catwoman. Number 8 is Deadshot. I like Deadshot already, and I mean, I'm gonna be honest, Will Smith only made me like him more when he was in Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad had a lot of problems, but the characters weren't the problems. It had good characters, and Will Smith, I really liked his take on Deadshot, and I would be totally game for him to come back again for a solo Deadshot movie. Deadshot's a very interesting character because he will kill like anybody. You know, he's like, oh, you know, I'll kill all these people or whatever just for money, right? But on the other hand, he does have a code. You know, he won't kill kids, he won't kill women. And that makes him interesting character. You know, that kind of gives him a little extra twist, a little bit less evil, gives him a little bit more of a code, and also he has a kid, you know, and so that is another interesting thing. I'd love to see a solo Deadshot movie with Will Smith. There's been talks of it and stuff, but there's been, like, talks of seemingly every DC movie under the sun, so who knows at this point, right? So number 7, I have the League of Assassins. Now, there's a couple different ways you can tackle this. If you want Ra's al Ghul in the lead role, you could also have him keep reviving himself, and you could have the Vandal Savage. Oh, these are two movies that could be kind of parallel to each other, and then you have them face off, because you have Ra's al Ghul, who is this, you know, kind of immortal character who keeps going into the Lazarus Pit and coming back. So he could be the lead character facing down Vandal Savage or something like that. Or you could focus on maybe Talia al Ghul, who is a bit more human of a character a lot of times, at least as portrayed in a lot of media. She's a bit more human of a character, and I think it would probably be easier to get people attached to a character like that. And then you could even have, you know, maybe Damian Wayne in there too, but pre him going to Batman and all that kind of stuff. That could be cool. But basically, a story about this giant empire, like, kind of ruling from the shadows, and this, you know, the League of Assassins, and then you have, hey, let's go with it. You have Vandal Savage coming up, and him seeing, oh my goodness, this League of Assassins has been here for a long time. It's time I take them out, and it's the war between Vandal Savage and Ra's al Ghul. There we go. Movie made. All right, number 6, we have the Riddler. An extremely cool Batman villain that has not been properly utilized in a Batman movie yet. I mean, I do like Jim Carrey's take on the Riddler, but I mean, let's be real. It's just Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey, and he happens to be the Riddler. You know, the riddles weren't that good and all that kind of stuff. What I want with a Riddler movie, or if the Riddler was in a Batman movie, what I want is a Death Note-style movie. I'm talking the anime, not the movie, where everything is mind games. Everything is like, oh, he makes this move, and then Batman has to make this move, or Batman makes this move, and it's like, okay, but he's 10 steps ahead because he is such a genius. So if you make a Riddler solo movie, you either have to find somebody else that is comparable to Riddler as far as intellect goes, that he can kind of square off with, or you make it a reverse Batman movie, where instead of you being Batman and figuring all this out, just like Death Note, I guess, you are focusing on the villain of the story, not the hero of the story. And so you're focusing on the Riddler and how he's trying to outmaneuver Batman at every turn. And you see how many steps ahead he is. And then it's like, whoa, Batman is way better than I thought. You know, you see how many steps ahead, you know, Batman is, and all kinds of things like this, you know. And so it's like, that could be an awesome movie. Whether it's a Riddler solo movie or Riddler just in a Batman movie, I want an awesome take on Riddler. I think they've cast Riddler in the new Batman movie, which, awesome. I hope he's really good. I don't know. I just have a feeling that he's not going to be what I want the Riddler to be, because I think the Riddler could be, like, Batman's one greatest villain, pretty much. You know, I mean, he's got the Joker, which is Batman's greatest villain, and one of my favorite villains of all time. Pretty much my favorite villain of all time. So, I mean, there we go. But the Riddler is awesome. In the comics, I've read stories with him where he is just like that extreme genius, that he sees everything, he sees how it all is gonna go, and he can set all these traps and all this kind of stuff, and it's way more clever than it was in Batman Forever. Let's move on from that Riddler and make something awesome. All right, number 5, I have the Gotham Gangsters. Now, what this started out as initially is I was thinking, you know, they could make like a Falcone movie or a Carmine movie or something, you know, a movie focusing on some of these gangsters. I mean, it would pretty much kind of be what Gotham is doing on TV or did do because they're done now. But I'm thinking, you know what? No. Instead of doing that, let's make like a Gotham City Gangsters movie where we have Falcone, you know, we have Black Mask, we can have Penguin, we can have all these different gangsters that live in Gotham City, rivaling, fighting each other, make it, you know, a Goodfellas type movie or a Godfather type of movie. Have somebody like Martin Scorsese direct it. I mean, you can't have Martin Scorsese's not going to direct it. There's actually been interviews with him where he like considered directing Joker and stuff, but then the whole comic book thing kind of wore him off. It seems like there's like, okay, he's not going to do that. So he's definitely not going to do something like this. But have that kind of movie, you know, the classic gangster kind of movie, only it's all just these Gotham DC characters, and I think that'd be awesome, honestly. I think that would be awesome, and I think people would go to that. I think people would watch that movie, so yeah, I think that would be awesome. Another character that also could be in that movie potentially would be our number four character, and that's Two-Face. Two-Face is a very fascinating character, and I think what you could do with him, make it like the Joker movie, just in the sense that it's this dark, slow drama about this man going down the tubes. You know, it starts with him, and he's this good guy, he's this good, upstanding guy, and then have him go down the tubes. You know, he's the lawyer, but then his face gets burnt off, half his face gets burnt off and everything, and he's just starting to go psychotic, and then he starts, you know, having the reliance on the coin and the evil side and the good side, and you kind of see maybe that split personality a little bit in him, and you see that divide in his mind starting to happen, and I think that could be absolutely fascinating in the same way that the Joker was absolutely fascinating watching this man devolve into the Joker. And the same thing here, I think, could be awesome. I think that could be great. So number four is Two-Face. Number three, I have Talon in the Court of Owls. If you haven't read the Court of Owls storyline, it's a really good storyline in the comics. I would love for them to adapt it into a movie at some point. There's rumors that they're adapting it into a video game in the Arkham franchise, which, awesome. I'm totally on board with that. What I would do with this, and the reason I say Talon in the Court of Owls instead of just the Court of Owls, is because I would focus on one of the Talons, much like there was a comic book storyline that was like this. The first solo Talon run, which also might be the only one, I don't know where that character went after that run, but that would be the perfect story for a movie about this group of villainous overlords, you know? Because basically what that was about is he was the only Talon to ever... The Talons, by the way, are the super-powered characters that go out and do the biddings of the Court of Owls. The Court of Owls, they sit back and they, you know, dictate everything that happens in Gotham, right? But this is the only Talon that got away from the Court of Owls. And then, you know, at the beginning of his comic book storyline, they find him and he's, you know, forced to kind of take the fight back to them, right? And so he's got to finish taking out the Court of Owls when... after Batman already did it, but then they're kind of still there, kind of, you know. And so if you have, like, the Court of Owls in the Batman storyline, let's get a Talon movie where it's a villain that is... This is more of the hero, anti-hero kind of thing, I guess. But it's the character that has moved away from those villains, and now we can get a deeper look into this group of villains as he finishes taking down the Court of Owls. That would be awesome, and it's a good comic book run. Check it out. So that's my number three. My number two is the character I was kind of thinking was going to be in number one, but he's not. Deathstroke. I love this character. So, so cool. I mean, you just got to have this movie where you just have this great central protagonist in Deathstroke, and he's on a mission, and then you have all kinds of amazing, crazy action sequences, and he's just going to blaze his way through everything in order to complete his mission, because he's a mercenary, right? So whether you have his mission being something good or bad, or, you know, he starts off doing the mission, and he's like, okay, I'm not going to do that, or I am going to do that, you have your twists and turns along the way, but make it like a John Wick style amazing action fest of a movie. You know, we can get somebody like David Lynch in there, Lynch, whatever his name is, who directed John Wick, who directed Deadpool 2, you know, Hobbs and Shaw, Atomic Blonde, and, you know, some of these movies that really does have amazing action. Like, what he does is amazing action. So if we could get him in a movie like Deathstroke, that would be awesome. And my number one pick here would be Red Hood and his gang of outlaws. Jason Todd as Red Hood being a bad guy at first, then turning into a group of anti-heroes. I love these characters, man. Jason Todd as Red Hood specifically. His outlaws, you know, who you can have there and stuff can vary, I suppose. But the main thing is have a Red Hood movie. You know, have him after the whole Red Hood, Under the Red Hood storyline. After all that, and now we have this Red Hood who is, you know, he's been the villain, and now maybe he's moving back towards hero a little bit, and we see that transition from him going from the villain, from being that villain, maybe potentially back towards the hero. So, I mean, what I would want to see is an Under the Red Hood storyline in live action, and then you spin off into a Red Hood movie where he, you know, makes that transition from the villain to a hero, anti-hero kind of position. And then maybe the first movie could end with him getting together his gang of outlaws or something like that. You know, it could vary as far as some of these specifics goes, but I would love to see a Red Hood movie. He's such a cool character. And that's it. That's my list here for the villains, Bat Family villains, that I think could make for cool movies. So running through the list again here real quick. Number 15, Gotham City Sirens. Number 14, Joker and Harley Quinn. Number 13, Mr. Freeze. Number 12, Clayface. Number 11, Anarchy. Number 10, Vandal Savage. Number 9, Catwoman. Number 8, Deadshot. Number 7, The League of Assassins. Number 6, we have The Riddler. Number 5, we have Gotham Gangsters. Number 4, we got Two-Face. Number 3, Talon and the Court of Owls. Number 2, Deathstroke. And number 1, Red Hood and the Outlaws. What do you think of my list? What do you think are ones that I missed? Shoot me an email, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com. And hey, we got some feedback from the Joker episode. I could have read it on the last episode, but I thought, you know, I'm going to save it for this one because it's a little more fitting to the content of this episode. It's from Ben Avery of the Strangers and Aliens podcast, of Welcome to Level 7, the Comic Book Time Machine, all kinds of cool podcasts. Ben Avery, he's a comic book writer also. Check him out. He's a cool dude. But he writes in, and he says, of the Joker episode here, he says, "What about Cesar Romero? Adam West's Joker gets no love in your ranking? I'm not going to say it's sacrilege, but I'm certainly implying it, just not saying it. Anyway, I agree with you about this movie. It's a fantastic character study, and it deserves conversation for a lot of the reasons you talked about. We haven't done a Strangers and Aliens episode about it, partly because I needed some time to let it sit with me. And this is definitely a movie that will stick with you long afterwards. As for a sequel, I would appreciate a Batman movie that continues this Bruce Wayne dealing with his own parents' imperfections as he builds the Wayne name and the Batman name. And then a Batman v. Joker movie to wrap up the trilogy nicely. But I'd want the same tone and timeline. Joker is in 1981, Batman is in 1989, and the JVB movie is in 1992, or something. Keep the Scorsese vibes and let them discover their connections and secrets, because there's that twist that has its own twist, but I think the real twist is that the twist isn't a twist, and yeah. Thanks for writing in, Ben. It's always awesome to hear from you, and I totally love your idea for this unconventional Batman trilogy here. That is awesome, or unconventional Joker trilogy, or whatever. It kind of reminds me in some ways of the whole, like, Unbreakable Split Glass trilogy that M. Night Shyamalan did, where it's just kind of a unique, different take on the whole superhero series idea, you know? I think that would be awesome, and I would throw my pitch for like a Harley Quinn kind of movie in there too, making it a quadrilogy, you know? You make her a little less goofy and make her like get a real kind of serious look at how Joker, you know, changes her from, you know, wanting to help people to this obsession to, you know, hopefully a breakup and redemption down the road. But, you know, maybe you don't want to make it too many movies too long and too extended for this just kind of unique, different take for this trilogy that I think is a super cool idea. If they go that direction, dude, I'm on board. Thanks again for writing in, Ben. If any of you guys have feedback, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on Joker or on this list or whatever's on your mind. The Helix Reviews Podcast is a proud member of Christian Geek Central Network, a hub of all kinds of cool Christian geeky stuff from around the web, all funneled to christiangeekcentral.com. Check it out. That is it for this episode. Coming up soon, we're going to have the 12 experiences before my next birthday episode, year 4, I believe this is. Also, a review of Terminator Dark Fate. And, I mean, probably a whole bunch of other stuff, too, hopefully. But until then, this is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews Podcast, signing off. Bye-bye, guys.
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy. No!